so good to see everyone this morning on this beautiful day. You know, it's such a privilege to be here. Every time I come, I remember coming when y'all first got started. I asked Tony, and he told me it was around 2006 when you met over in the Renaissance Center. It's amazing how time flies. I'm thankful the Lord's allowed us to be here this morning. So if you would open your Bible to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Be looking at verses 1 through 11. And after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priest and the scribes sought how they may take our Lord by craft and put him to death. But they said not on the feast day. They were too self-righteous for that, lest there should be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and she poured it upon his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. And right here in verse 8, with the title of the message, she hath done what she could. She hath done what she could. She has come to aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you that wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priest to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. This account, or similar accounts, is mentioned in all four Gospels. You can find it in Matthew 26, verses 1 through 16. You can find it in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Then in John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. In the first gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, her name's not mentioned. In John's gospel, it speaks as, because it was done in Bethany, and it was Lazarus and Martha's sister. But, you know, I just said that it really doesn't matter her name, because she's not the important one. He's the important one. It's what she did for him and for him. Here we see in this story, the setting here, that this is only 2 days before our Lord will be made an offering for sin. The sacrifice, the Passover. And these 2 days before, here we read that the chief priests, they wanted to take our Lord by craft. What that means is they didn't want to do it openly. They didn't want to do it publicly. They wanted to take him out in some back alley and kill him. And that wasn't God's purpose. God was purpose for him to be crucified outside Jerusalem for everyone to see. That way it was not done in some corner. But what I want you to see is, you imagine all this that's going on in their mind. They hate the Son of God. They want to kill him. They want to destroy him. They want to wipe his name from everybody's memory. And that's what's going on. But before they lay hands on him, this woman in this story, she's going to lay hands of love upon her Lord. She's going to come and worship him. Well, everybody else wants to destroy him. She wants to worship him, and she comes and she does that. These men's hearts, they were filled with malice and hatred. If men hate you, it's because they hate our Lord. He said, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So we see what's going on. And while here he says he's at Simon the leper's house. And while he's there, she knows where he's at. And she's going to go to where he's at that day. So here we have this act. It's this woman, you know who she was? I can tell you who she was. She was a sinner. She was a sinner and needed mercy. And she had been shown mercy. Our Lord had showed this woman grace. You know, many times it said the publicans and sinners, the common people heard him gladly. And they came to him. Some said, you know, this may have been Mary Magdalene. You know, she was a very wicked woman. Here's what our Lord said about her in Luke 8, 2. And a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. A very corrupt woman had received grace. And I can tell you, grace makes a person gracious. The grace of God does something for a person. It changes them. It regenerates them. It gives them life. And you that once hated him, we don't love him like we should, but you do love him. You wish you loved him more. And one day we will. But you do love him. You do love him. So here we see this woman. She had been received. She had received mercy. And what she does, she gets this, it's called here an alabaster box. Now they say an alabaster box was a stone resembling white marble. It was used to where they would put something that was very precious in, whether it was ointment or perfumes or these oils, and then they would seal it up so it couldn't escape, because if it would escape, it would spoil. In this alabaster box, there was this ointment called spikenard. And if you like plants or mess with plants, you wouldn't have paid any attention to the spikenard plant. It was just a little scrubby plant. But from that plant would come this perfume that was priceless. He's a root out of dry ground. When you see him, there's no beauty that you would desire him. All this pictures him. He's the box, and he's the ointment in the box. That's the treasure. He's the treasure hidden in the field. He's the pearl of great price. It's all about him. In Song of Solomon, that great love story of Solomon and the Shulamite and a picture of Christ and his church, it says in Song of Solomon 1 verse 12, "While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof." So what is that a picture of? If there's anything good in you, it's what God put in you. It's the grace of God. It is Christ in you, the hope of God. And this is what worship is. It's when God enables us to sit at the king's table. And every time we come hear the gospel, we're sitting at the king's table. He's brought us to his table. And when he sits at his table, when we worship, God enables our hearts. We can't explain it, that they just fill with joy. And it's like Sandy's told me many times, she says, it's like when sometimes you can sit and listen to a message and it's like there's nobody else in the room. It's just between you and him. That's what she's saying. My spikenard sendeth forth the smell. And there's no other compare. You cannot duplicate grace. You can't counter. Now, they try to counterfeit grace, and it becomes disgrace. It becomes works. But grace has a distinct fragrance about it. It's a fragrance of life. Of life. This ointment was very costly because it was very precious. And it's very rare. Some of you that I've never met before, but I know some of you have come from far off, from different places. And you come by a lot of so-called churches, and there's no gospel there. What we have here this morning is very rare, and is very precious. Very rare, and very precious. She comes in. You imagine this room probably full. They're there to eat at Simon the leper's house. And she comes in with this, we don't know how big it was, an alabaster box. And she comes in. She's probably unnoticed. She may have been the only woman there. And she comes in. And she takes it. And she's got to break it. And she breaks it. And in John's gospel, it said that when she broke it and poured it on his head, it filled the whole room. with that ointment. You imagine something, when it feels something, that means it penetrates every crevice. It goes out. I can see everybody sitting around talking, and maybe, you know how it is when we sit around, we eat in our minds, and we're just talking to somebody probably loud, and I can see everybody get real quiet and say, what is that smell? I've never smelled that before. That's like it is when you hear the gospel. It may, doesn't matter whether it's when you hear it the first time or the hundredth time. That's what, that gets your, you know what it does? It gets your attention. It's distinct. And it's Him. He's the one that's distinct. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the fairest among 10,000. When she broke this box, this sweet fragrance filled the room. And you know, that's how it is when Christ meets with His people. It's like He opens the box, doesn't He? And you smell and you hear the gospel. Every time you hear it, it never gets old. It never gets old. Precious. Every time the gospel's preached, it's like opening up the alabaster box, and the sweet, sweet fragrance of Christ just fills the house. Why did she do this? Why would this woman do this? If you turn with me to Luke's account, chapter 7, I'll show you. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would come and eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a certain woman in the city, which was a sinner, which knew that Jesus was at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and she stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed him with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he said, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, they couldn't pay the debt, and they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave both of them the debt. He said, "Simon, tell me therefore, which of them will love him most?" Which one of those two men will love him most? And Simon answered and said, "Well, I suppose, he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman, but he said to Simon, I can see him looking at her, but he's speaking to this man over there. He looked at the woman and he said unto Simon, "Simon, you see this woman?" He said, "You see this woman? You see this woman that you call a sinner?" He said, "I entered into thy house today. You didn't give me any water for my feet. And she's washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Thou gave me no kiss, but this woman since I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loveth much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Why did she do this? She'd been forgiven of much. That's it. He has been forgiven of much. He loveth much. That's what he's saying. You know why she did it? Because she loved him. No question about it. She displayed her love for him. For him. She's not after attention. We're going to see that. So that's why she did this. Secondly, she wanted to honor her Lord. You say, "Well, how do I honor the Lord?" Well, first and foremost, I think it's by faith. By believing Him. By trusting Him. He was her Savior. He was her Lord. And her whole mind is to honor Him, to exalt Him, and bring all the glory to His name. That's why she did it. And she brought the most costly thing she had. Do you know how we find out what this is worth? You know who tells us what it's worth? A man named Judas. Isn't that kindly ironic? Read John's Gospel, chapter 12. He said, this might have been taken, this might have been taken and sold for more than 300 pence. A pence was an average person's day's wages. So if he made minimum wage or whatever it was, and I added this up, if you made $9 an hour times 8 hours, that's $72 a day. For 300 days, that would be $21,600 in our day's wages. So basically what you would make in a year is what this would cost. How did she get the money to buy this? Most believe she earned it by laying on her back. But some way she got this. I don't know how long she had it, but you know, you imagine something. This is precious. I worked a long time. I saved a long time to buy this. And I thought one day I was going to put it on myself. Maybe there'll be a special occasion and I can wear this on myself. You know what happens when women wear perfume? Most of the time when they put it on, now they smell it, but then they'll say, would you smell this? In about 30 minutes, they're so used to it, they don't smell it, but everybody else in the room does. And it draws attention to who that's wearing it, doesn't it? Here she comes. This is so costly. And she brings it to him. It was too costly for her to wear herself. Because she said, it's not about drawing attention to me. Worship's not about drawing attention to you. It's about giving him all the attention. And when she comes in, you think about this. Here she comes. Judas knows what this is worth. And now it says that when he said it, everybody else knows. All they're thinking about is the worth of the perfume, not the one for whom it's anointed. And she pours it on his head. Now all the attention, now they're looking at her. That's how the Satan wants to do. Get your eyes off Christ, off on this right here. You looking over here, that doesn't matter. She poured it on him, and you know what? It's all on him. Now all the attention is upon the one wearing it. You see the picture? This woman had this cruse of ointment, too costly for her to use for herself, but not too costly for him. She took it and broke it and poured it on him as a testimony of her deep affection. She says, I love him. Basically, she's saying, I love him more than I love myself. I can see her when she bought it and said, this is for me. This is for mine. This is mine. You ain't getting it. This is mine. And she says, I can see her in her mind and say, what can I do for him? I can see her thinking about it. What can I do for him? You ever thought about that? What could you do for him? What could I do to honor him? And she says, I know what I could do. That box of ointment back there, I think I'll give it to him. I think I'll pour it on him. And that's what she did. That's what she did. Why'd she do it? I tell you what. Because he first loved her. Most men would have looked down on her if she's the same one in Luke's account. You know, Simon, he looked down. He knows she's an old sinner. If he was a prophet, he'd know who she was. He knew exactly who she was. Christ came to save sinners. And he saved her. How do you know he saved her? Well, he gave her a new heart. He gave her a heart. She loved him. Who was the first one? If this was Mary Magdalene, who was the first one at the tomb that morning? Anybody remember? Mary Magdalene. She remembered, she thought he was the gardener. And he said, Mary. She said, oh, you're my master. He loved her. And now she loves him. She knew what she was doing. This was no spur of the moment thing. It says in John's account, here's what our Lord said. He said, you leave her alone. They wanted to criticize her. He said, you leave her alone. Against the day of my burial has she kept this. She may have understood more than the disciples did. Our Lord, I was going to go back and look, and I didn't get a chance. Many times our Lord told him, he said, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be rejected of the Gentiles, and I'm going to be crucified. They're going to bury me, and the third day I'm going to rise again. And it's like the disciples never did get it. One day our Lord's telling the disciples, and the next thing out of their mouth is, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Like that matters. But she must have understood something. She would not get the privilege or the opportunity to anoint him for his burial. But she did it right now. And you think about this. This is only 2 days. And then you begin reading the rest of the chapter. It talks about him. You know, he goes to Gethsemane, and then they come to arrest him, and he's up all night, and the chief priest, and then they sent the Pilate. He probably still smells like spikenard. Everywhere he goes. And that's the way it is. Wherever he's at, you smell that fragrance. And she said, she's come to anoint my body for the burial. She knew where he would be found. She knew what she had to do. And she did it. She knew where he was at. She knew what she had to do, what she had planned, and she did it deliberately. She did it on purpose. Now, you know she's human. What would have entered your mind? What would have been on your mind the whole way there? Especially if, you know, I can see it being all men. I can see them not inviting any women to their little meal. Especially this sinner. And she walks in and she's there to honor him. I can see the thought come into her mind, well, what will they think? One of the hardest things for us to do, especially in front of people, is not worry what they think. Whether it's preaching or reading scripture or playing the piano or whatever it is, isn't it? Those things enter your mind and you have to deal with those things. But she said, basically she had to say, it doesn't really matter what they think. And it doesn't matter what they think, because you know what? This is between you and him. It's between you and him. Is that not worship? It's between you and him. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter. She had eyes for one that day, and that was him. She was not there to obtain the praise of men. She didn't care what they said or what they thought. It just didn't matter. She's not there to draw attention to herself. She was not there to secure the praise of men. What she did was of great sacrifice, and it was a work of faith. We're going to say they did not understand. Judas said, what a waste. And the rest of the disciples chimed right in. You imagine standing there and you think nobody understands. Nobody. They're finding fault with it. They're saying it's a waste. A waste? You know why they said that? You know why? It's amazing. If you notice there in that text, we see this picture of great love and devotion for her Lord, but also we see such great hatred. This woman's love and affection for Christ drew out the hatred of Judas. It's like he couldn't stand it. It's like, I can't deal with that. You know what he does? He goes out and sells him. For 30 pieces of silver, the price of a common slave. True salvation makes religious people uncomfortable, because salvation, grace, gets all the attention to Christ, and they want to divert. Here's what it is. They want to divert your attention away and want you looking over here. And she was there to honor him. True devotion to Christ always brings out the hatred of those who don't know him. Judas said what this woman did was a waste. Most people would look at you and what you do, they'd say that's a waste. What a waste. Love is never wasted. Generosity is never wasted. Sacrifice is never wasted. Love, listen, love cannot give him too much. Here's what Paul said in the book of Philippians. He was writing to those people and he was encouraging them because they had sent him a gift. He says, "But I have all and abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent for you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." He said, "You know what?" He said, "That offering you sent to me, it was a blessing. It was an offering of a sweet smell." Devotion and commitment to Christ is seldom ever understood by men. Can you imagine how shocked this woman was when she heard what these people said, that it was a waste? But you notice what our Lord said? He said, "You leave her alone. You leave her alone." Our Lord didn't think it was a waste. He said, "Let her alone." He saw this woman. He saw what she did. And let me tell you, he saw why she did it. I heard Henry say one time, why we do something is probably as important as what we do. Our hearts are so deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I would love one time in my life to do what this woman did. One time. The only place I ever read in the Scriptures, the only place I ever see is right here where our Lord called, said anything that anybody ever did for Him, you know what He called it? A good work, didn't He? "She hath wrought a good work on me." She had done what she could. I can't do what you can. You can't do what I can. God made you individual. She said she did what she could. You think if this was Mary and this was Martha and Lazarus' sister. Martha, you always see her serving. Lazarus is sitting there at the table. But what's Mary doing? You always see her at His feet. She done what she could. You say, "Well, what can I do? I can't do nothing." Let me tell you a little story. The church I used to pastor in North Wilkesboro, it was about this size building, and we had about this much grass to mow. It had very little. And there was an older gentleman in our church. He had emphysema. He had smoked for years, and he was disabled and couldn't work. But he wanted to go mow that grass. And his name was Jay Griffin. I said, "Jay, I don't want you mowing that grass." He said, "No, I want to mow that grass." So what I'd do, I'd find out when he's going to go down, and I'd beat him down and mow the grass. And he came in one Sunday, and he sat down. He had tears in his eyes. He said, "Preacher, I can't do much." He said, "I can't do much." He said, "Don't take it from me." He did. Do you think it honored our Lord? I think it did. He wasn't doing it for anybody to see or... Nope, most people never knew that he did it. But I know one that knew. And that's the only thing that matters. It's like the woman you think about, the woman with the two mites. Who noticed it that day? Who pointed it out? He did, didn't he? He did. She had eyes only for Him. She had His approval. And that's enough. Those who honor Him, He will honor. Let me read you this in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor," that's what Judas said, What a waste we could have taken that. And this sounds good. We could have taken that and sold it and got the 300 pence and we could have given it to the poor. He said, here, if you bestow all your goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, have not Christ, it profiteth me nothing. She did what she could. She did what she had the opportunity to do. She may never have another opportunity. I think she knew that. You know, we are the worst procrastinators that ever lived. Don't we? She said, I'm doing it and I'm going to do it right now. And she did it. She did what she had the God-given ability to do. Who gave that to her? God gave it to her. He gave her what she had. Who gave you your job? Our God did. Who gave you the ability to keep that job? God does. Who gave you the job that you worked for Him? And who could take it away? He could. It's all His. What can you do? What can I do to honor Him? Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. If He's finding to do, He was looking for something to do. Right? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, there is no device, there is no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. What you have the God-given ability to do, God asks, God give you the ability to do that and honor Him for His glory. And our Lord honored her. He said, wherever the gospel is preached, and we're standing here on March the 17th, 2019, preaching from this passage. And He said, wherever the gospel is preached, 2,000 years later, this is going to be told for a memorial of her. She wasn't seeking no glory. He loved her. He gave Himself for her. What are we to take some lessons from this story? Lord, help us to do what we can while we can. Our Lord said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it's day. The night comes when no man can work. Let us honor our Lord in everything we do. The world will not understand those who honor our God, who want to give Him all the honor and all the glory. Then they will always say it's a waste. And may God enable us not to be so occupied with the thoughts of men. Help us to not think of their indignation or their misunderstandings, but to pour out our alabaster box of ointment upon the person of our Lord. God enable us to break the alabaster box, and so the world can smell that fragrance of Christ. Amen.